The information gathered from the Lower Yarra Crossing project on concrete pavement technologies became useful at Clybucker Flat near Kempsey, where in 1975 the DMR was facing big problems in the reconstruction of a section of the Pacific Highway. Jeff Ayton had just started with the DMR when he was assigned to the Clybucker Flat project.
Clybucker Flat was a very challenging project because it goes through a floodplain, and the then DMR wasn't allowed to raise the levels of the road because that would have impeded the flow of floodwaters. The Maclay River breaks its banks during floods and flows through that area. So we were forced to build that pavement down at the existing levels. And that always introduces problems because your subgrades are very soft. If you took off the top layer of the existing pavement, which in some cases was probably only 8 inches thick, 200 millimetres, you could take a piece of reinforcing bar, steel bar, and drive it into the subgrade with your hand under your own weight. And it's said that truck drivers driving through that section before we reconstructed it, that the pavement was so soft that they would have to change down a gear going through that section of Clybucker because there was significant deflection under the tyres. And so it was almost like driving a truck across a mattress. So they were the sort of challenges we had. When Clybucker came up in the mid-70s, it was really the start of a resurgence in concrete paving. Clybucker was also notable in that it was the first time a continuously reinforced pavement, CRC, was built in New South Wales. And Clybucker was the first project, to my knowledge, where the then DMR used a lean mix concrete subbase. And by that, we mean a low strength concrete.
It was 130 millimetres thick of low strength concrete, 8 megapascal concrete, which could be laid straight onto this uncompacted subgrade.
Because of the success of that lean mix concrete at Clybucker, we adopted that almost straight away as a standard feature on our concrete pavements. And from the early 80s onwards, there are very few projects in New South Wales in concrete pavements that don't have a lean mix concrete subbase.
There were other things that we did there which were a first. We specified that the concrete should have an upper limit in strength as well as a lower limit. Previously, all the concrete specifications just required a minimum strength at 28 days. What we were aiming for there was to limit the shrinkage. And to further that, we insisted that they use a low shrinkage cement. And we also specified shrinkage limits. So these were all firsts.
There would have been at least 38 trial mixes run in our laboratory. And though there was a contract and they came up with a mix, I think we basically handed over air mix designs. We had joint meetings where once they were chosen, I think we helped them to try and ensure the success of this project. It was too important. But I don't think they quite came to grasp what the new concept was. And I think it was we shared with them the benefit of our knowledge.
What sort of equipment was used on that job?
Well, broadly speaking, we would say that it was placed by hand methods or manual placing methods. In other words, we had no slip formers in those days. The concrete was spread by shovel, and then we used what was called a spreader finisher. To my knowledge, it was the first time we had used a spreader finisher, and then there's a roller which finishes the pavement to the required level and gives you a good standard of finished surface profile. Now, ahead of that machine, you had to vibrate the concrete, and so we had a team of two or three men with internal vibrators, and we paid particular attention to the thorough and systematic vibration of that pavement ahead of the spreader finisher, and I still credit that as being one of the major factors which determined that it's one of the lowest maintenance pavements we've ever built, if not the lowest. That was constructed in 1975, so we're approaching 25 or 26 years old, and we have never spent one single dollar on the maintenance of that concrete pavement, which is a remarkable achievement given that it's 5.5 kilometres long. So I'd say that probably rates as some sort of world record.
What actually went wrong on the Clybucker job?
Oh, we don't like to talk about these issues too much, but there were a few notable lessons we learnt One was that in the early days, our level control on the lean mix concrete subbase wasn't as close as it should have been. And so when we came to place the formwork for the top layer, the base course, the level of the lean concrete was quite rough, and that gave us a pretty hard job in levelling that top formwork. So from that point on, we had to really intensify our efforts in controlling the finished surface level of the lean mix concrete. The other challenge we faced was that in one area, a box culvert was placed too high and it actually impeded into the lean mix concrete subbase. And so we had to ramp up the levels over a length where the traffic wouldn't notice it because we had 150 millimetres to gain to ramp up over this box culvert.
Looking back at the Clyde Bucker job now, in hindsight, what was learned from the Clyde Bucker experience?
Clyde Bucker reflected an improvement on Boundary Brady Montague Street. We knew a little bit more about materials. We had a little bit of a handle on temperature regimes. So the information you get from one job fed into another, and of course, you'd expect improvement. But looking back, and I said at the time, the cement contents that the then DMR used in that mix design I felt were too low, and I am still of that view. And if you see that job now after something like 25 years of Pacific Highway traffic on it, when you look at it in the wet, you actually can see some wheel path tracking, where it is my view that the weaker concrete material on the surface, where you get the latents coming to the surface and there's an amount of hand finishing, so you get a little bit of mortar, that mortar has worn away. And my recollection is that there was only 220 or 250 kilograms per cubic meter or equivalent of cement, and I was always concerned that that was enough. It was well below my durability threshold, and I do believe that that is one aspect that I have always differed with the DMR and subsequently the RTA in terms of cement content. And I do believe to this day that whilst that pavement has served remarkably well, it's got some small wear in the wheel tracks, which possibly could have been lessened by using more cement.
The Kleibacher job, I think, firstly gave us confidence that we could build good concrete pavements in New South Wales. We already had experience in the 30s and 50s to know that they could work, but Clyde Bucker was different in that it was the first continuously reinforced project which has no transverse joints. And so that old bugbear with most motorists about concrete pavements, where they typically say, oh, concrete pavements, they're the ones that go bump, bump, bump at the joints. Well, CRCP removes those joints, and so you overcome one of the major obstacles that the public sees against concrete pavements. So the success of that project gave us confidence to resume building concrete pavements in areas like Sydney.